listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu. Live uncommon. Recent disasters in South America lead to the partnership with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Brazil. Here to share more with us on that, the Reverend Dr. Ross Johnson, Director of LCMS Disaster Response. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Always appreciate your willingness to come in and share with us updates on what's going on in some of the disasters that we face around the world, especially when it comes to our brothers and sisters around the world. Now, I just mentioned the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Brazil. Tell us a little bit about how you understand our relationship with the, also known as the IELB.
Yeah, the IELB, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Brazil, was founded in 1904. It's one of our oldest historic church partners and church plants. 1904, we sent a missionary down. There was a large amount of German immigration into the southern part of Brazil. And we started doing services in 1904 in the southern area of the Rio del Sur area. And we started planting churches, and now that church body has become independent. 1980, they became an independent Lutheran church. Up until that time, they were actually a district of the LCMS. It was the Brazil district of the LCMS up until 1980. And right now, they're a completely independent church. That small church plant that started in 1904 now has about 250,000 Lutherans, confessional Lutherans, across the country. But still, the vast majority of those Lutherans are in the southern part of Brazil. There's about 1,500 congregations, about 850 different Lutheran pastors. They have a robust seminary. They're producing their own pastors. But they're also doing their own missions. They're sending missionaries around the world, around Central America, South America, and also Africa.
And I understand we have some alliance missionaries with them working together with their missionaries as well in some parts of the world. Tell us a little bit about your recent visit to southern Brazil and what you saw in terms of how floods had impacted that region.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think very many Americans have heard about the historic flooding that happened in the southern part of Brazil. However, across Brazil, it was tremendous, and it impacted in a way that historically has not ever happened, at least in the last couple hundred years. The area that we have the most amount of our Lutheran congregations got the most amount of flooding in that southern part. And one of the things that we ended up finding out is that over 200 Lutheran families, their homes were flooded out. This affected hundreds of thousands of Brazilians, but let alone a couple hundred Brazilian Lutherans. So this is something that's a little bit different. A lot of times when we work after a disaster internationally or even in the United States, we might have a Lutheran congregation and their community was affected, but we don't have necessarily that many members. This is a situation that we had a lot of members affected. So we wanted to be extra cautious in the way that we went along and walked alongside of our Lutheran partner in responding to what the needs were.
What did you see in terms of disaster? I can't imagine a flood happening in an area that you said it was pretty historic, that hasn't happened like that in over 100 years or more. What were some of the things that you saw in terms of the destruction from the flood?
Yeah, I would, for his own privacy, I'll change his name. Francisco is a member of a Lutheran church, a layperson, and he went and talked with us pastors that were doing an initial assessment about a week ago, and he gave his story about how the flood impacted him. They were absolutely caught off guard. They didn't live really immediately close to the river. They lived far away. They had never been flooded before. His parents that lived in the area before him never got flooded. So when the floods came, they were completely shocked, not living in a flood zone. And he said he was completely trapped in his house. There was nowhere to go. When he would try to look out of his windows, he would see no hope. All he saw was flood waters everywhere. So there was no immediate place to escape to. So his neighbors were flooded. His neighbors up the hill were flooded. His family members down the street were flooded. So the only place that he could really end up turning to was the church. And I think it's a beautiful reminder. Sometimes our lives are so chaotic that the only place that you can turn to is God, because there's so much hopelessness and chaos and confusion all around us that the only place that we really can turn to is the church or God. It reminded me of a Bible verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions, so that we might also be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." In a world that is broken by sin, where floods destroy homes, where everything that you think is normal can, within moments, in a way that you can't foresee, is completely all broken, we can always turn to Christ. And we are comforted by God in a way that the rest of the world just doesn't understand. When a flood comes, it's so destructive. Everything that you have in your house is destroyed, wasted, and taken away, and broken. And when those things in our lives are lost and broken, we have a spiritual crisis. And for us as Christians, we wouldn't know where to turn. But for the rest of the community, they are absolutely desperate. And that's where we as churches, we can go into those communities and offer to be a blessing, a light, and a hope. And that's one thing that the Lutheran Church in Brazil is doing. So they're collecting food, they're collecting clothes, they're collecting the things that people need, and they're going into the communities and being a blessing. The people that are flooded out have no clothes, they have no food, they have no toiletries, and sadly, they really don't have very much hope. And that's where our congregations are coming in, giving food, giving toiletries. And as they're going through this spiritual crisis, we're also addressing that spiritual need that they're having with the love of Christ.
You mentioned nearly 200 families that were impacted by the floods. What about the congregations and the church buildings? Were they also impacted by the floods?
Yeah, we have two Lutheran congregations that have water that was chest high. So the members were brokenhearted about their churches having that much damage. So they've been hard at work clearing out all the damaged goods, trying to get those congregations up and operational so that they can be a light to the community around them. And so we as the LCMS are coming alongside of our church partner in Brazil and trying to increase their capacity. As I mentioned before, they're collecting food, they're collecting toiletries, they're distributing that. They're also collecting cash. And one of the reasons that they're collecting cash is because when you have so much damage and destruction to people's homes, it financially, people they don't have the means to be able to do all of it themselves. And so what we're doing is we're coming alongside, meaning the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is coming alongside our Brazilian partner church, and we're doubling the capacity through giving them finances and grants so that we're in alignment with what they're doing and we can really actually do a whole lot more. It's not going to be able to do everything. However, the people that we are able to help are thankful, they're blessed, they're grateful for anything that we are able to do.
So tell us a little bit more about those various ways that we're partnering with the IELB to help them serve their communities, help the local congregations serve their communities.
So one of the things that I was in Brazil doing last week, I was walking alongside of their vice president, the National Church's vice president that oversaw mercy operations for them. And we did an assessment for a couple of days. We listened to the pastors. We listened to people like Francisco that had lived through the experience so that we could understand what the biggest needs were so that we could address those. So one of the things that we're developing in this action plan is how do we give financial support to congregations? But we as Christians, we don't only give financial support. We definitely do with helping hands, mucking out homes. We give them food, clothing, but we also want to care for people spiritually. So one of the things that we're doing is creating resources that can teach church workers and key lay leaders in congregations, how do they better show mercy? How do they help people in the name of Christ? What are some best practices that they can be doing? And also, what is the role of our theology of mercy? So we're going to be doing some training conferences for church workers and pastors and key lay leaders across the southern part of Brazil. We're also concerned about our church workers because our church workers that lived through the flood, they're also victims. You know, their spouses, their children went through it. They went through the trauma, the loss, the grief, but also they're caring for their flock and the people that have gone through this traumatic event. So they're kind of getting a double or triple or quadruple whammy from this disaster. So we want to make sure that we're building up those church workers so that they're not getting burnt out, so that they're not leaving the ministry after a traumatic experience. So we're going to be doing a special aftercare event for those church workers to build them up, renew their enthusiasm for the ministry, and so that they can continue serving the Lord without that sense of being overwhelmed or burned out.
So what does that mean for your team as well? How's your Portuguese?
My Portuguese is not very good. One of the things I was surprised about is there's not very much English at all anywhere in Brazil. Their national language, of course, is Portuguese. I'm conversational in Spanish from being a missionary, so I would speak slowly in Spanish and they could kind of understand a whole lot of it. If not, I had a couple of friends that were interpreters. So we were able to communicate. But yeah, you're right. The national language is Portuguese, not Spanish.
What does that mean in terms of resources? You talked about, you know, training and supporting church workers in helping them in terms of mercy work and caring for those that they serve. What resources are available for them when it comes to teaching about mercy?
Yeah, in the theology of mercy, unfortunately, they don't have a whole lot of confessional Lutheran material that talks about mercy work and disaster response work. So one of the things that they asked us for is a grant so that they could translate some of our materials that we've come out with over the last decade or so and put that into Portuguese so that they can have access to it. But not just some of the pastors, they want all of their pastors to be able to have access to this theology of mercy and really be thinking about what are creative new ways that they could be showing the love of God in tangible, helping hands kinds of ways, but what is the reason why we do it as well? What's that theological foundation for it? And so we're going to be doing some translation projects with the National Church as well.
Very good. Anything else we need to know about our brothers and sisters in Christ in Brazil?
I would say that the number one thing right now is just to be praying for them as they're going through this traumatic experience. It's always difficult to lose everything. It's overwhelming. They're in a marathon, not a sprint. This is going to be something that's going to be going on for the next year or so as they're helping their members rebuild. It doesn't go quickly. There's a lot of government regulations on who can rebuild, where you can rebuild, can you rebuild, and that's all stressful. Mm-hmm. So praying for them is the number one thing. There also might be listeners that really resonate with disaster response ministry, and they get really enthusiastic about being a part of the blessing and that our church is a blessing, not only to our own congregations here in the United States, but globally, worldwide. If you would like to participate with that, our website is the best place to get more information on that. Our website is simply lcms.org/disaster. And so when you go to that website, lcms.org/disaster, there's going to be stories about what we do domestically, internationally, but also there's going to be a red Give Now button, and you can choose whichever kind of disaster you feel burdened or that you care about giving towards. It could be floods like what we're responding to here in Brazil, wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes. And then we put those funds into place so that we can serve people, not just Lutherans, but those who are affected. The vast majority worldwide and the vast majority of our projects are not Lutherans, and many times they're not even Christians at all.
LCMS.org/disaster. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Ross Johnson, Director of LCMS Disaster Response. Thanks so much for the update on our brothers and sisters in Brazil.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.